So just a quick overview of where the energy markets are today. So, you know, the black segments are coal, the orange segments are gas. So coal is still a major fuel, as you would expect, up in the north central region. That's where Powder River Basin sits. So that's the lowest cost source of coal. So if you look at the PJM slice, coal used to be a much larger proportion of that. But Central Appalachian coal is actually fairly expensive. So that's the first coal to get replaced, especially because that coal sits right on top of the Marcellus gas basin, right? So Marcellus and Utica gas is coming out cheap. The expensive coal is sitting on top of that. So all the new gas-fired combined cycles that are being built in PJM are being built right there. And they're displacing the coal. And they continue to be built. So even in this upcoming auction that's been delayed, we understand there's something like 4,000 or 5,000 megawatts of new gas-fired combined cycle that's going to enter into that PJM auction. Even though, you know, PJM's carrying, you know, pretty high reserve margin, the gas that's sitting right on top of the gas-producing regions are able to sign very favorable gas contracts that are priced even below market, and they're writing gas hedges to lock those in, and that's how they're getting built. So the current generation share, you know, you see here, as in the previous chart, gas has surpassed coal. Gas still cycles a little bit more, so it's a larger share of the capacity than it is generation, although that includes some steam plants that are older technology. So those don't run nearly as much as the modern gas-fired combined cycles. So if you look at where reserve margins are, most of the country is still in surplus. The exceptions are here in ERCOT, as, you know, as we witnessed over this last summer. And MISO as well is running pretty close to where it needs to be. But everywhere else, you know, there's still a pretty hefty supply surplus. And especially with those states, and we'll talk about this later, states with very aggressive renewable portfolio standards are essentially forcing renewables into the mix, and it takes time for all of that to be absorbed, right? So they're actually driving a surplus now in the next building boom that's mainly renewables. So, you know, historically, when we've had this situation, we can count on some load growth to absorb some of that surplus and that impact. The problem is load growth really hasn't materialized. It's been fairly low for a while, and it's projected to stay low. So here you see the EIA's load forecasts. Every year it comes down. So, you know, it starts at a lower point. But if you look at every forecast, it still goes up and to the right. You know, they still believe that the load growth will be there. But the most important line to see on this chart is that bold red line at the bottom, right? That's actual load. It hasn't grown at all over 10 years. It's been dead flat, and in fact, it hasn't even recovered to pre-recession levels. There is no load growth. Why is that? Well, it's a number of factors, right? So there's slower economic and population growth, improving efficiencies across the board, improving building codes, more aggressive energy efficiency programs, behind-the-meter generation. So all of these factors drive flat to no load growth. Load growth, you know, we think is probably going to be 1% or less structurally, unless something changes. So what are the positives? So we could have electric vehicles, which could add, on average, maybe 1% a year over the next 20 to 25 years of adoption. So 1% a year load growth, by the end of which electric vehicles might constitute somewhere in the 30 to 40% of total load range. We could have fuel switching back to electric, and that was discussed, I believe, earlier today. So the electric industry spent decades switching people from electric heat to another fuel, whether it's gas or oil. And fuel switching was actually an energy efficiency measure. So now they might be switching back. So that could potentially be additional load growth. But otherwise, structurally, we're just, you know, we just don't have the economic growth. You know, we're at probably 2% long term on average, and population growth is low. So structurally, load growth is not going to come back and retake the market.